Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Oh, let's see, where should we start? Let's go over to Galatians. The letter Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. We've been teaching a series on the core values, and really I said again, these are the core values that the Spirit of the Lord gave for Best Life Church, but they are really are the core values that he gave for the entire body. Because how many know the body doesn't function? The lower extremities don't function in a different set of core values than the rest of the body. They get their same directions and everything from the same head, right? So, how many know what the core value number one is? What was that again? To see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. That's it. I knew you knew it. You just were, yeah. To see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. And we mentioned along with that that we are believers that are chosen to see themselves as a new creation, not merely just forgiven. There is a difference, folks. To see yourself in the mirror of the new creation, not merely just forgiven, continually dragging around a past. So therefore, we're free to be and accomplish who we were created to be with no baggage and no excuses. I was waiting for someone to do that. That's good. With no baggage and no excuses. I mean, no, so much of what we've seen in the thought process of Christianity is people just make excuses for why we never get anything done. Well, after all, I'm just forgiven. I'm only human. When Paul says, how many have the Spirit of God in them? Okay, well, he says, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Right? So the real you is your Spirit. I had somebody tell me one time, well, I don't think you can really isolate the Spirit. You should have told that to the Spirit of God, because he did. Just because our theology hasn't trained us to notice that doesn't mean he didn't do it. So I'm over here in Galatians, right? And so we're talking about an environment where we understand how a new creation man functions and how we don't function. And what are the tools of darkness to bring you back over into you just walking in your natural man? It's important that we understand what those things look like and what they are so that we recognize when we get pulled over into them. Because so many times what happens is we get pulled over into them, and so now we're over here in our natural man, but our minds are masters at rationalizing why it's okay to be here. Because it was either somebody else's fault or somebody said something or so-and-so did me wrong or so-and-so this, that, and the other. And it's never, we never recognize the fact that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, right? So why do we want an environment amongst us that continue blames people for why we're standing in the wrong place? So we need to understand what the weapons of darkness use and how they look. And what effect they have on people. We're in Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. And this is Paul recounting an incident that happened between him, a number of other believers, and Barnabas and Peter. And notice what he says here in verse 11. He says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, speaking of Peter, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. So what does that look like? What if somebody who's got condemnation swirling around between their ears, what does that look like? Well, he explains it. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, who was a pastor of the church in Jerusalem, that must have been a heck of a bunch to try to pastor. He says, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof. What does condemnation look like when it's functioning between the ears of a human being? They begin to withdraw. And it's always okay because it's always somebody else's issue. Did you hear what I just said? When the real issue is darkness is swirling around condemnation inside their thought processes, and it causes them to want to withdraw. Okay, now go over to, as a review, go back over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. See, folks, when you begin to see this and you begin to put the dots together, our daddy did a masterful job of setting a human being free from everything. But so much of what's happened in the thought processes and the theologies of so many believers is the fact that they just never were told that that's what he did. So they don't know how to appropriate it. They don't know how to walk in it. They don't know how it looks. And so therefore, we continue to live in this cesspool environment that natural men live in, where the only reality is what's going on between your ears. And how many know that can be influenced quite easily? That's why Paul made statements like, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you are not in your flesh, you are in your spirit. What was he saying? He's trying to tell us this is the way a new creation man, the old thing, the old ways, the old process, the old era of judging by what your eyes see, your ears hear, and you know, your emotions. That day is gone. The new has come. So as a human being, see, we've got to understand this, and this is why, you know, I really hate that we've kind of labeled these things theology, because this is not theology, this is reality. What Jesus did for human beings is he made it possible for a human being to live as a complete being. You ever wondered what it means over in the writings of Ephesians and Colossians where he says that we are complete in him? This is what it means. He made us complete. He gave a human being the ability to not just that be at the mercy of what's going on between the ears and what's flying around in the emotions and what his eyes are seeing and what his ears are hearing. He gave that man or that woman the ability to live as a complete human being, having insight that your natural senses don't have. And to live there, get your direction from there by the Spirit of God. So that you stay out of the scenarios where, you know, Peter's living one way, but then all of a sudden, you know, some folks from the church in Jerusalem are coming, and his head's already going. So by the time they got there, he was already self-condemned, so he began to withdraw and stand aloof. I guarantee you it was a situation where it may not have been real obvious. But because of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits that was functioning through Paul, he recognized the motives that were going on between the ears of Peter and Barnabas and some of those other folks, and he spoke to that. See, we have to be real cautious, folks, because if we're going to live out of our minds and out of our own rationale, that takes us all the way back to the book of Judges. Remember the last verse? I think it's the last verse in the book of Judges is that each man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why? What else is he going to do? But see, we can't take that same method that a natural man functions by and live as a new creation man, because that's not the way a new creation man has functioned. Because, get this. Is Jesus a flesh and bone man? Right? That's not a trick question. Was he? Is he? So, he is a man. He's not a spirit. He is a man. Being that he is a man means that whatever he accomplished and whatever he purchased the rights to stand in goes for every human being that breathes, that is human, that's a human being. They have to take ownership of it. They have to get a model. They have to get their, you know, that nature upgrade. They have to get the new nature. But it's all secured by a man. And so, over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in chapter 2, he talks about an individual that he dealt with in the first letter, which is 1 Corinthians, that was living in sin, and he told them to deal with it, and he told them, you need to treat him, if he's not going to listen to you, and I'm going to say this too because it needs to be said. The only time we step back from a person in the body of Christ, everybody say the only time.
Only time.
The only time we step back from a person in the body of Christ is when we have gone through the process that the Word of God says, and we go to that person first individually and we address something and we talk to them about it, and if they refuse to bring any correction or adjustment, then once they've refused, then the Word says you treat them like they're, in this he said tax collector or sinner, because he was speaking to Jewish influence. Then you separate yourself from them. But even in that, he comes back and revisits that here in 2 Corinthians, and he said, look, he says in verse, let's look at verse 5, he says, but if any have caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. Why doesn't he want to say too much? Because he doesn't want to heap more mess on the guy's head. He says, sufficient for such a one is the punishment that which was inflicted by the majority, which he mentioned first, the first letter, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, otherwise such a one might be overwhelmed by the excessive sorrow. And then he goes on to say, for to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Isn't it cool how Paul has a God consciousness? The presence of the Lord with him all the time, consciousness. We need to practice that. Because, theologically we say he is, but do we practice that in reality? It makes a difference because it affected the way he functioned. And it says, verse 11, so that he says in the presence of Christ, verse 11, the reason I want you to do this is so that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. The very first thing that Satan ever used on a human being that was breathing was shame. The very first thing. He hasn't changed. He doesn't have any new tools. All he has is our ignorance. When Adam made a decision to change allegiance, and the Lord used to spend time with them on a daily basis, and he came down and he was going to spend time with them, and the first thing he said, and Adam basically hightailed it. He stood aloof and withdrew. And the very first question that God asked was, because that's not how a man that comes with the nature of God acts. He said, why are you where you are? And then Adam said, well, because I was naked, or I was deficient and missing something. And then the next question in the Hebrew is very interesting. God said, who told you you were naked to the point of heaping shame upon your head? That's what caused him to withdraw. So as a new creation man, we're not going to live there. You know, Paul said in, just real quick, go back over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. Remember Paul had a presence of the Lord reality, consciousness, everywhere he went? He said, in a number of places in his letter to the Corinthians, what did he say? He said, I'm speaking this in the presence of him. And so he says here in 1 Corinthians 4, he says in verse 3, but to me it's a very small thing that I be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. Lord Jesus, I wish we'd get this. For I am conscious of nothing against myself. Now let's just stop right there and deal with that sentence. How many new creations can say that? I'm conscious of nothing against myself. You know why? Not very many? Because the religious system doesn't want you to think that way. It always wants you to be conscious of things against yourself, because if you're conscious of things against yourself, that means it has leverage over you to turn you and steer you any way it wants to steer you. But the fact of the matter, the reality of what Jesus did for a human being was to remove you out from underneath the system. If we live in the right place, live connected to Him in the presence of Him, then we'll live free from this constant gerbil wheel cycle of always living at submitted to your own thoughts against you. But you know, you notice here, you know, he says, you know, I just because I'm conscious of nothing against myself, it is not by this that I'm acquitted. He says, because the one who examines me is the Lord. The one who examines me is the Lord. Now here's the challenge with this. If we don't spend time with Him, then there's nothing to bring correction into your thought life and into your actions and into your life. See, that's the challenge. We don't want to have one without the other one, because that's just as disastrous, because that leads people over into arrogance. So we have to be submitted to Him. But I love what Paul says. He says, look, it's no big thing for me. I'm not going to be judged by anything you say. He said, I don't even judge my own self. I leave that part of the correction, I leave that up to the Spirit of God who's in me. I mean, I know Paul spent time with Him, because he always talks about it in the presence of Him. So it was, you know, his God reality was pretty high. Okay? So, having said that, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So there is a barometer that does bring correction to our lives as new creations, and it's not other people. Can I say that again? There is a barometer that brings correction into our lives, and it's not other people. I mean, honestly, he says in his word that the word is designed for instruction in righteousness, correction, and reproof. The Word. Everybody say the Word. The Word, not your head. Because, see, the Word is the Word, is the Word, is the Word. And according, you know, especially if it's brought by the Spirit of Truth, then it's going to bring correction the right way, right? So when you ever notice that when the Spirit of God brings you correction, you don't feel like a worm? If you're feeling bad, unworthy, worthless, then it wasn't the Spirit of God that brought you correction. It was something else. And you're not designed to live under that. Because whom the Son has set free is free. Go to Acts chapter 13. The gospel sets you free from all things. All things means all things. See, this is, I'm telling you, this is a system. This environment is completely foreign to most theological understandings. Because they haven't understood that Jesus really did mean you're truly free if I set you free. Because they don't really, the mindset doesn't understand what truly free really is. But, what did I say? Second Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Look at verse 3. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by the way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. So our job as new creations is to get yourself... Look, let's just be real, okay? Can we be real? Do you know how much junk has been layered into people's thought processes and emotions from the time they started breathing and hearing things on this planet as little people? How much junk gets layered into little people's minds by big people who want to control little people? And the system of the world is, if I can put something in your thought process that will tweak you emotionally, I can steer you any way I want you to go, and it will be less effort. So that's the system that most of the natural man is raised in the world. And that's the system it still uses to steer people in the direction it wants them to go. It still uses shame. Right? I mean, you don't have to go very far. Just jump into the political process and, man, you'll have so much shame thrown your way. Because that's the system the world uses. But the new creation man is not designed to live under that. The new creation man is not to be judged by human beings or you even judge your own self. Because I'm telling you, if the Word of God's not the one that's doing it, it's going to bring condemnation in your thought processes, which will cause you to withdraw and stand aloof, and you'll never fulfill the end game, what your daddy designed for you to accomplish in the earth. So, now that we saw this, we can move on. Now let's go over to for the sake of time, I got to whittle this down. You don't mind, right? Let's go to. Go back over to 2 Corinthians. Or 1 Corinthians, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, what does Paul say? Again, this is how Paul lives. What does he say? He says, I'm free from all men. Well, men is italics, so really he's saying, I'm free from all. What do you think your life would look like if you were really free from all? Woo! Everybody do that. Woo! Come on, see, you can't even do that. Get free. That was lame. Y'all are lame. Okay. All right, okay. He said, I'm free from all. Now, go over to go over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, look at verse 28. Remember, Paul said the way the system is for a new creation man is the one that brings correction into his life is the Spirit of God. Incidentally, you know, if someone says, well, the Spirit of God told me this was okay. If it violates the Scripture, then you might as well just, you better keep your mouth shut before you reveal that it really wasn't the Spirit of God. Because he's never going to violate this, right? First John 2:28. He says, did I say that? Look what he says here. Verse 27 says, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. I want to tell you this. The word anointing there, what is he speaking about? He's speaking about the grace of God that's in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So in passing, I'll just mention that to you. He says, the anointing which is in you, or the grace of God that's in you, abides in you. And it says, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and it's true, and it's not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now let me tell you what this is saying. What this is saying is, on an ongoing, constant, sporadic basis, because if you read the context, some people that were trying to teach them and trying to tell them things and trying to be the authority on certain things, but it was nothing more than a bunch of static information that they got from a mind of man. And Paul's saying, look, John is saying, no, you need to understand that you have a teacher on the inside of you on an ongoing, constant basis. Any environment that you're in that moment, he'll teach you something in what's going on in that moment. Does that make sense? Because how many of you is not saying, well, we don't need pastors, evangelists, teachers, we don't need any of those people because John said we don't need anybody to teach us. Why would he violate his own word in another place? He won't. So it's not saying that. We have to read it in context. But notice what he goes on to say in the context of being connected. He says, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now verse 28 says, now, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Here's how religion reads that. Religion reads that you better spend time with him. If you don't spend time with him, you're going to be sorry. Because when he shows up, he's going to put you to shame. Does that sound like the Spirit of God? Get out of here. You know what this is saying? If you abide in him, because of that connection of love and the love flow, because you've abided in him and that love has always flowed and that love keeps you blameless in your own thought, that when he shows up, you won't become self-condemned and run away. Because you spent that time with him on an ongoing, constant basis, and the love of your daddy fortified your position. You see the difference between the two mentalities. John is saying we need to live connected and abide in him on an ongoing, constant basis because of that connection, the love of God flows from him to us and causes you to stand in a place fortified, blameless and holy in his presence. So that because you live there, Condemnation has no room in your thought life, so that when he does actually show up in the flesh, your response isn't influenced by condemnation because you didn't live there before he showed up. Is this making sense? Do you understand now why it's so important to spend time with? It's not a religious duty. Frankly, we need the nutrition. His presence and his word give us a fortified position in him, and it's designed, his very DNA is designed to cause you to stand blameless and holy. Because his love is merely communicating his perspective that he made a decision before there ever was the world, that he was going to see human beings in his presence in this way. So we have got to learn to live there. That's why Paul, I love this, when he says in either 1st or 2nd Timothy, he says, "And I worship God with a clean conscience." Why? Because he didn't spend time in religious thought process. He spent time with his daddy. And his daddy, the love of his daddy, the presence of Jesus in his midst all the time, the reality, his God consciousness, if I can use that term. I'm going to use that term. I'm not letting no New Age person steal my words. His God consciousness was so real that he would speak to people and say, "Oh, I just want you to know that I'm speaking on his behalf in the presence of him." We need to come to the place where our God reality is so real and his love has so washed over us time and time and time again that we don't allow thoughts of deficiency and inferiority and condemnation to stir up and stir the pot between our ears, so we never step back from or stand aloof from any human being that breathes. In fact, one place Paul said this, he said, it may have even been Peter. He said, "You know, when in the midst of persecution," and I'm not even talking about persecution, I'm just talking about just everyday life. But he said, in the environment of persecution, if you don't allow fear to grab you and you stand in the face of this thing unafraid and unintimidated, he says that very action reveals to darkness that they're condemned. Because what they're dishing out doesn't work. So, he said in verse 28 again, "Little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Since we know that he's righteous, we also know that everyone who practices righteousness was born of him." You realize I grew up my whole entire church life and never knew what that verse meant. But now you know what that verse means. That's why it's so important to stay connected and living in him. Because you need that love of daddy to wash over you all the time to keep you free from all men. To keep you free from all that men have said. To keep you free from everything that the system in the world has tried to layer on you since you began breathing. Now go over to Galatians again. You guys get anything out of this at all? Galatians, look at chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me." He says, the only thing that matters is not anything that any religious system would say is mattering. The only thing that matters is whether or not you're a new creation man or not. He says, the world, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did, the world is crucified to me. You know, in another place, he said that your natural man has been circumcised off of you. See, these are terms that, I mean, these aren't maybe-so terms, are they? Aren't they pretty definite? So, the world of a new creation man, which is what you are if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, is one where you're constantly allowing yourself to be tweaked, but not out of the mind of somebody else. Now, here's the kicker. Everybody say the kicker. Here's the kicker. That if somebody brings something to you and it's from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, in any specific situation that they might mention, and it is from the Spirit of God, your job is, hopefully you recognize that it is because you've been spending time with them, so you recognize when it is. Because if it is, and you haven't been spending any time with them, so you're not really familiar with what that looks like, and you don't make that adjustment, that's where there's going to be some challenges. So it all boils down to, let's just spend time with Him, so we get used to what that is. Because the Spirit of God in you will confirm what the Spirit of God in someone else is saying is from Him. And it will not produce condemnation. Everybody say, it will not produce self-condemnation. Let me show you this too. Let me find it here. One of the letters to the Paul wrote to Timothy, I believe it was. Paul wrote some things to help the church have the right environment. Oh, I'm sorry, it's in what he wrote to Titus. Go to Titus chapter 3, look at verse 10. Why is it important for us to learn how to live not self-condemned? Because how many know hurt people hurt people? And there's been plenty of that. But the only reason there's been that is because the religious system has not taught you what the Spirit of God is teaching you through these letters that Paul has written. So if they don't know, how else are they going to function? So if you've been burned by somebody, then now's the time to just say, Father, forgive them, they just didn't know what they're doing. In fact, I would advise you to do that on a regular basis every time somebody gets a spirit of stupid on them. Don't let it get into you. Don't let it, you know, Paul called it, don't let it set roots of bitterness. So just do that all the time. Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. That keeps you over here in this place of nothing setting up shop in your emotions. But notice what he says here in Titus, I said verse 10, right? He says, reject a factious man. This is factious, not fictitious. Okay? Reject a factious man after a first and second warning. See the process? If anybody has an issue with somebody, you go to them privately. He says, after a first and second warning, if you've warned them, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being what? Self-condemned. You ever been around people that all they do is like stir up? They just stir stuff up. Why do they do that? It's because inside they're self-condemned. We're not going to hold it against people. But if they won't receive the freedom of the Spirit of God to get out from underneath that thing so they can actually walk in the joy of the Lord, then He says if they're not going to receive correction, then you separate yourself from them. But he's just given us insight by the Spirit of God why that scenario is the way it is, because he's self-condemned. In his own thought life against himself, he doesn't love himself. So he's violated. If he was under Jewish law, he would have violated commandment number 2. Because he doesn't love himself. But it's also because he doesn't think he's lovable, and he probably is not doing commandment number 1, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the reason he's not doing that one is because he's not knowing and believing the love that God has toward him, because it comes from Daddy first. So it's just all a messed up cycle. You say, Pastor, why are you teaching us all this? Because as we grow as a church, you're going to see plenty of these kinds of environments try to raise their head. And so we need, as mature believers, we need to recognize, number 1, we don't have issues with people, but we understand that these are the tools of darkness, and this is what they look like, and this is the effect that they cause on people, and we need to know how to step in and protect those people. I'll just say this. And this goes for me too, okay? I'm in this too. If somebody says something and I choose to take an offense, then let's just be honest, own it, and say that's what it is. Because I guarantee if I went to Jesus and I said, Jesus, all those people, they just hurt my feelings. Now, this is how you'd probably talk to me. He'd sound a lot like my daughter. He would say, you better suck it up, Buttercup. Because it was my choice to take the offense. So we're teaching these things because here's what it does. It brings you freedom, and the fact that you'll recognize, because the Spirit of God will say, hey, remember that one time you were teaching about this and you learned this? And that's one of these situations. And you're like, oh, okay. So you interrupt your thought process and you say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to live out of my mind, out of my emotions. I'm going to live as a new creation man, and I'm not going to be controlled by what anybody else says or any other input anybody else says to me. I'm going to live free from all men, because I live with my daddy, and he's the only one that I allow to speak into my life. And those that are actually speaking by the Spirit of God, because I recognize that, because I get it all the time in my personal time. Did you guys get anything out of this? Because the alternative is like Ephesians says, if we don't, let's just go to the last verse, let's go here. I'll close it with this one. If we don't live there, then we're going to be living here. And if we're going to say that the word is true, then we ought to just take ownership of this one too. Ephesians. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. I was looking right at it, and I didn't see it. Chapter 4, verse 17. He says, so this I say. He had just got done in verse 15 saying that the way we conduct ourselves is we speak the truth in love. Okay? So we speak the truth in patience. We speak the truth in kindness. We speak the truth bearing all things. We speak the truth believing all things, or believing the best of somebody. One translation says, we speak the truth, enduring all things. And so that's how we speak the truth. And in the middle of us speaking the truth, we're not in the middle of that. And then he goes on to say, he says in verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord. So this is the Lord saying this, not just Paul's opinion, right? He says, I'm affirming this together along with the Lord, who is telling us, walk no longer just as the Gentiles or the natural men who walk in the futility of their own mind. Verse 18, being darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God. So they're excluded from the input of the Spirit of God. Therefore, they are walking in the darkness of their own understanding, their own minds. So every time, even as a new creation man, folks, we got to understand this. If we're going to choose to walk in what's between our ears, And it's not having, it hasn't been influenced by the Spirit of God. And we make a choice just to live in our own thought life, our own emotions, and our own anything. Then what we're actually doing is we're completely uninfluenced by the one who really has the insight into what's going on. And we're living in partial darkness. How many, you can't see everything going on in partial darkness. Right? So why in the world would we ever want to make a decision or live, you know, our attitudes affected towards those around us in an environment where we're really only getting, we're only living on probably not even what's really happening. Because we've made a choice to live in our own heads. When Paul says, I serve my God in this gospel, in my spirit. I'm going to know your spirit's different than your head. Your spirit's different than your mind. Now, your mind and your spirit will work together, but your mind needs to learn how to submit to it and not take the lead. Proverbs says what? In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your steps, because you're not leaning to your own understanding. So really, that's as clear as we can go. We're either going to make a choice to live as a new cremation man. Now, a new creation man out of our spirit, and not allow things on the exterior to get into our mind and cause condemnation, which would cause us to start living aloof and withdrawing from people. We're going to live out of our spirit. I love this, man. God made a way for us to completely live free from the influences of the system and the kind of a man that that system produces. We just need to stay connected and let him bring correction. If we need correction, you know, he'll do it. He'll do it by his word, he'll do it by his spirit. And if somebody says they're quote counseling you and the result of that is you feel knocked down a few pegs, then it probably didn't come from the spirit. And chances are, because it didn't come from him, it's not going to come from the word either. So why are we going to order our life and our personal perspectives based on the trash that got dumped into somebody else's yard? Amen? Isn't God awesome? Man, whom the Son has set free really is free. We just got to learn how to live there. That's a new creation. That's what you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.